welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and we're going to look back at last week's win against Oklahoma before previewing this week's game against South Carolina. But, Trevor, let's dive into that OU game from the standpoint of it's a win. That's good. Man, OU stinks, so I'm not going to say it's a good win. I'm going to say it's a win, and that's good, but it's not a good win.
It's definitely not a quality win. Right. I definitely wouldn't say that. In the way the game played out, it was very un-Mizzou-like to win that game.
Right.
After the fumble recovery for Oklahoma to take the 7-point lead late in that game, I'm sure a ton of Missouri fans are sitting there, and it's, I've seen this before.
Right.
That is a game that they lose almost every single time, it seems like. And especially with Drew Pine starting, you fall down by 7 and it's obvious passing down situations. You don't feel very comfortable.
Right.
Drew Pine obviously leads them down. Theo Weiss makes a spectacular catch to take the lead, and that's probably the best throw I've seen from Drew Pine ever.
Sure.
So give him props on that. He looked a little bit more comfortable. I wouldn't necessarily say he looked comfortable.
Right.
He played substantially better than the level he showed against Alabama.
Yeah.
Low bar to clear.
Right.
But you look at the way that game played out. They tie the game. OU gets kind of conservative. They run the ball. They're kind of running out clock, and then they decide to throw the ball.
Right.
And then it's a strip sack. Tristan Newsom gets the strip sack. Zion Young obviously picks it up, returns it for a touchdown. Missouri ends up winning that game.
It's, and like just you were saying earlier, you know, as we kind of say, they kind of win in a non-Mizzou way. OU look like something that, you know, MU does a lot of times, where you're like, what are we doing here? You don't seem like you're sure. Were you running on a clock? No, you're not running on a clock. Oh, what are you doing? And then you lose it in a very ugly way. So it just, that whole, I mean, they would have just been better off taking knees at that point. And instead, you just gift somebody a victory. And I think, again, that's where I go to the fact that I don't know how much I take away from that win, just because Oklahoma stinks. They were bad for long stretches of a game where you couldn't figure out why, but they just were. They just aren't any good this year.
Yeah, and I don't know who said it to me, but I liked the way they phrased it. Mizzou got out-Mizzoued, basically.
Right.
OU lost that game more than Mizzou won
sure.
that game.
Yeah.
I think that's a very fair way to put that. And, like you mentioned, the first 3.5 quarters of that game were borderline unwatchable.
Right.
It was terrible football.
It was.
It was not fun to watch. And then all of a sudden, the final 3 minutes and 18 seconds gets four, four touchdowns out of nowhere. Two of those obviously defensive. So.
And it almost got to the point, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the throw from Pine to Weiss, none of us expected it to happen. One, because I don't think Drew had shown us much during the game where he expected, but the game flow, like you mentioned, the game was so bad that you didn't expect any good plays to be made. So that when that one was made, it was almost even more miraculous than it was, than it would have been under normal circumstances, you know, with somebody else maybe making that throw. It's a great play from start to finish, but you put it in the context of a horrible game, it just becomes elevated to the stratosphere.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of funny moment. Watching the game in the office, Greg Jackson and I looked at each other after the throw. First off, great throw.
Right.
Second off, my immediate reaction when that ball left his hand, I thought it was going to the front row.
Right.
He put a ton of air on that ball and dropped it in the bucket.
Yeah.
So all the props to him in the world, but just with what we had seen from him prior to that moment and really throughout that whole game, when that ball left his hand, zero expectations of what was to come. And once again, all the props to Theo Weiss for somehow getting a foot down on that play.
Yeah.
And props to the Cannons guy for shooting off the cannon immediately after. It was not very clear whether he got that foot down, but the person controlling the cannon had a pretty good look, and they knew 100% it was a touchdown.
So I think it bears some further look at from the standpoint of, okay, you look at it and go, if I told you at the beginning of the day, Pine's going to go 14 of 27 for only 143. And Mizzou's going to rush 46 times for only 135. You're like, man, we're not winning this game. We're losing big. And then somehow they still managed to score 30 points amongst all that and get a 30-23 win. So just the whole day was just so very surreal from just that you look at it and just go, nothing good is happening. And yet, you know, they're in this game and they're not getting blown out. And you go, well, then you better take a game like that. Because if someone's going to give you a chance to hang around and hang around and hang around, take it away from them.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad at this point that we're looking at Drew Pine's stat line of 14 for 27 for 143 yards and saying he looks so much more comfortable.
Right.
That's obviously not a good sign.
Right.
And I just kind of wonder what it was like from an outsider standpoint. Somebody on the East Coast or West Coast that doesn't really care any about these schools.
Right.
And I'm sure nobody was watching the game. Then all of a sudden you check your social media feeds late in the game and you see all this exciting stuff. And it's like, what happened? I watched a little bit of this game. These two teams look terrible.
It seems like a lot of the NFL this year where we're having tons of fantastic finishes after you have just brutally horrible games. And you're like, you turn them off and go, that game was awful. And then it gets great in the final 2 minutes. That's kind of what this one was, where you go, yep, leave a good lasting impression on the fans so they come back next week. Because you go, okay, yeah, that was awesome. Well, no, it wasn't awesome. It was awesome at the end.
It's something that we talk about in the sports pod all the time. Not every close game's a good game.
Right.
That was obviously a close game and it had a very exciting finish. But if you watched all 60 minutes of that game and you walked out and said that was an incredible football game, you probably need to watch more football.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I read you the Mizzou numbers, and the Oklahoma ones aren't any better from a standpoint of they rushed 36 times for, you know, 125, so I guess you say good job for the Mizzou defense. And then, you know, they end up completing 17 of 26 passes for 135, but in there is a one-of-one for 43 yards from the punter, and then, you know, so you take that out, and there's another running back option pass, so you go, their starting quarterback went 15 of 24 for 74. So you go, yeah, it wasn't great, it wasn't pretty, it never looked awesome at any point, but you go, well, let's just at least take the W and let's move on.
Yeah, and just kind of a slight props here. I don't think the Missouri defense has got enough flowers for what they have done this year.
Sure.
I mean, you look at their overall numbers, they're giving up 18.4 points per game, less than 300 total yards per game. They're second in the conference in pass defense, and that was kind of the biggest worry for the defense headed into the season. So obviously the level of competition they have played is not quite up to the standard of an SEC team.
Right.
They've had quite a few cupcake opponents, and some of their conference opponents are not quite up to the standard of what you see at the top half of the league. So there's that context, but it's hard to look at the overall numbers and say the Missouri defense hasn't played anything but well.
Right. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So let's turn our attention forward to this week. It's a 3:15 p.m. game today at South Carolina. It's on this SEC network. Stop me if we've said this before, but it's one of only two ranked versus ranked games this week, which that seems like it's happened, you know, one week where it was Mizzou was the only ranked versus ranked, and then, you know, this week they're one of two, and both of them happen to be in the SEC, the other one, Georgia and Tennessee, later on in the day. But it is one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, well, you know, we talked last week about college football playoff rankings. We were kind of surprised Mizzou was in them. They didn't look great last week, but they got the W, so they stick in them one more time. But they're 23rd going now at, you know, 21st South Carolina today. So you go, well, obviously that's probably the team that's favored in the game by the rankings, and they're favored, I think, by the odds makers as well.
By two touchdowns.
Right.
We have talked many times this year about very few opportunities for a marquee win
right. That
can kind of boost a resume. We talked all year about how the South Carolina team was really frisky.
Right.
They have now graduated from frisky to a good football team.
Right.
So you're going on the road against a team that is ranked higher than you. This is the opportunity for Missouri to jump into the playoff picture, quote unquote.
And if you need an indication of just how weird this season has been, and we've always talked about chaos, we love chaos.
Chaos is great.
But yes, you have a 7-2 Mizzou team, 3-2 in the conference. You have a 6-3 South Carolina team, 4-3 in the conference, and they're ranked ahead of them. But again, I think it goes to those style points that you're talking about, or marquee wins where you can say, hey, yes, we have more losses than that team, but we've got better wins.
They really only have one bad loss this season. So they lost 27-3 to Ole Miss.
Right.
And
who's all of a sudden looking awesome as well.
They just had a huge win last week. And Lenore Sellers, the quarterback for South Carolina, was coming off an injury for that game. So clearly not 100% in the fact the offense scored 3 points. I think anybody will tell you that. But you look at their other two losses, 36-33 against an LSU team that's not quite as good as we maybe thought at that time.
Right.
But there was a couple questionable calls in that game that really had a big deciding factor in the game. Refs don't decide games. I'm not trying to say that. But there is, looking back at that game, they had plenty of opportunities to win that game and took a commanding lead early. And then you look at their other loss, 27-25 at Bama, where they had a chance in the final drive of the game to go win it.
Right.
So those are really, really quality teams.
Yeah.
And if you look at the other side, Missouri in those games has been blown out.
Yeah.
So their resume is much better.
Well, and I think it's not only just the fact that their losses have been better, but just let's just look at their last two wins, where you look at it and go, okay, they handled Texas A&M, who handled Missouri and made Missouri look bad in that matchup. And then just last week, you know, they took it to Vanderbilt, who, like you mentioned, was also feeling frisky, and they beat them 28-7. So, you know, at Vandy, so not that that's an incredibly hard place to play, but you know what?
It's harder now than it was last year.
And Alabama lost there this year. So, you know, at a certain point, you go, okay, their losses are better, their wins are better, they seem to be peaking at the right time, whereas yes, we're coming off a win last week, but it's not like Mizzou's peaking. It almost feels like South Carolina is starting to peak, and you want to just go, okay, let's just not let them keep rising this week. Let's maybe see if we can disrupt their flow a little bit.
Yeah, the tale of the two sides, I would say Missouri's treading water at best.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's being the most optimistic you can.
Sure.
You look at Ole Miss last 4 weeks. It starts with that Bama loss that they probably should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Oklahoma and boat race them 35-9.
Right.
And then 24-point home win against A&M, 21-point road win at Vandy. So, like you mentioned, they are peaking, and they are definitely on the up and up for this season. And they're playing extremely good football right now. The offense is playing much better. The defense has been really good for a while now.
Right.
So this is a very dangerous South Carolina team. And like I mentioned, they have kind of graduated from being that frisky team that you don't really want to see to being a team that's like, this is now definitely a good football team. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and we keep talking about it, and we keep looking at it and overanalyzing it. And I think it's all kind of the CFP rankings, or the idea of the 12-team playoff is just getting more and more difficult. And I do feel like in my heart of hearts, I've heard this discussion a lot. Oh, yeah, I think multiple, maybe one or two, three lost teams can get in. I don't think that's right. But I do feel like it, at least this year, that makes the conversation more interesting from a standpoint of, like, so you look at South Carolina today and you go, okay, they don't really have a whole lot of chances left to impress at 23rd, even though they could potentially win out. Because this Mizzou win, yes, it would be good for them because it's a ranked team. But then they go to, they play Wofford after that. That's going to be a walkover. And then they play at Clemson.
Who's struggling.
You know, and so that's another chance for maybe another team that still is ranked as well, struggling but still ranked. But I don't think, you know, they don't have a lot of points to be like, okay, let's try to move up these rankings when there's all these one-loss teams in front of them. So I just feel like the thought of a three-loss team seems problematic to me this year just based on a lot of other better resumes. But if they're going to do it, they need this win today. So you're going to face a hungry South Carolina team today.
Yeah, and you look at the first team out of the playoff as it stands right now, and it's a two-loss Georgia team that has a win at Texas under their belt.
Oh, right.
So the difference between number 12 Georgia right now and the low 20s at the edge of the playoff rankings is a substantial gap.
Right.
Like you mentioned, I don't see South Carolina playing their way into the playoff.
Right.
But they have generated a lot of momentum towards the end of the year, and their only avenue, three losses in the SEC is not going to get you into the SEC championship game. So they do want to continue this upward trajectory and at the least build momentum for next year. But, I mean, there's still that off chance that you get a Georgia loss at Tennessee this week, or right. kind of those teams in the teens to have a bad loss in these last 3 weeks of the season to get in that conversation. I just don't see it as a possibility.
Yeah, I think it's very intriguing. I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out this week in terms of, you know, there's a lot of football still to be played, and I think that's going to be fun watching these rankings get disrupted the next couple weeks. But again, I think it is worth, you know, saying, okay, let's say that Mizzou can come in today and kind of pull off a, you know, pretty substantial upset based on that point deficit that we're looking at. Again, it's worth noting, they're 23rd. They'd have to leapfrog a lot of people. I just don't see them also getting themselves in the conversation. But the way you do it is you have to win first. And then if you look at it and go, okay, then can you follow that up at Mississippi State with a win and against Arkansas with a win? I think you conceivably could. Now, is that going to be able to gain you enough spots to jump 11 teams to get in there? I still don't think I see that happening, but the only way to find out is to do it. So let's see if you can start it today with a victory.
Yeah, and really that magic number is 12 spots, because that 12th playoff spot's going to go to the highest ranked Power 5 or group of
true.
5 teams.
Yep,
so because right now Georgia is 12 and they are the first team out. It's a very long shot, but it's a higher possibility today than if you would ask me coming out of that Alabama game.
Right.
It seemed like all hope was lost after that Alabama game, and you could tell Drinkwitz is still holding on to that hope, because that was the first thing he said after the game on the on-field interview.
Yeah.
So they are still holding out hope. I just don't really know how realistic it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, step one has to be win this one.
Yeah.
That's the only avenue. So we'll see if they can do it.
So making that even harder is the fact that we've got to talk about injuries at this point, because they're still a big factor into what's going to happen today.
So, yeah, obviously the number one worry for Missouri fans is Brady Cook, and does not look like he's going to play. I think the biggest teller for that is probably the 14-point Vegas spread. That would not be the line if he was in, and Mookie Cooper is going to be out again and making things worse. Connor Tolleson, the starting center, is out for the season.
Yeah.
So, Drake Hessmeyer is going to step in that position. The only other name on the injury report, Brayshon Littlejohn, looks like he's going to play, throwing that in almost exclusively for his name. Great name. injury report's still not looking good, and the position you need the most, quarterback, is still a major worry right now, because it looks like it's going to be pining.
And I was going to say, the first thing you do when you're the offense is you have one guy hold the ball and hand it to the next guy, and that's when the play starts. And both the guys that you had at those positions to start the season are now gone. So you go, that's not a great recipe for success. If you go, the leader of the line in the center and the leader of the offense and the quarterback, both of them out, that's a huge hurdle to overcome.
The only optimistic way I can spin that is possibly Drew Pine and Drake Hessmeyer being on the second team offense.
Sure.
They have probably snapped and received snaps from each other plenty of times before. Obviously, they don't get the amount of reps. The worrying part comes with Hessmeyer stepping in and controlling the vocal or the communications for the rest of the offensive line.
Right.
Obviously, that's not going to be up to the standard that you saw with Connor Tolleson. So, like you mentioned, there's no way to spin it that it's a good thing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of have to play with the hand you're dealt.
And then another name that doesn't really appear on the report, but you also look at it and go, okay, I guess it's good that we don't see Nate Noel's name on the injury report. But I think that's mostly because he played last week, and then you figure, well, he'll be better, you know, this week. But he didn't look like Nate Noel last week either.
Yeah, he really hasn't looked like Nate Noel since before the Massachusetts game.
Right.
And that's when the injury started to become a problem.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it would be ideal for him to get back to that. Because I think going into that UMass game, we were talking about how he's averaging 6.5 yards per carry.
Right.
And I was kind of pessimistic in a little bit of that's going to regress to the mean. Obviously, with the injury factor on top of that, that has done more than regress to the mean. He has not looked anything like the Nate Noel that you saw in the first half of the season. And for this Missouri offense to function at the level it needs to, especially under Drew Pine, the running game needs to step up.
Yeah. So if they're able to keep it close, and if they're able to kind of make this, you know, again, ugly it up like they did last week, and then maybe need a play at the end, I think that, you know, this is going to be a harder task than last week was. But what does Mizzou maybe have to concentrate on slowing down today or keeping South Carolina from doing to give themselves a chance late?
So, I mean, for Missouri's defense, I think Raheem Rocket Sanders, he's widely known as Rocket Sanders now. Yep. He played at Arkansas the last few years. He is really hitting his stride right now. I think he's gone over 100 yards in three straight games. He's accounted for like half the team's touchdowns during that stretch. It's not an explosive offense from South Carolina by any means, but they do have playmakers, and it starts with Rocket Sanders, and then the next you could look at is tight end Joshua Simon, 6'4", 260. Sixth-year tight end. He leads the team in receiving yards, which is kind of rare to see in college, a tight end leading them. Sure. So those are really the two names you got to look out for on offense. And then on the flip side, Missouri has to be able to protect Drew Pine. South Carolina's second in the SEC in sacks. They have two edges, Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart, who have combined for 14.5 sacks just between the two of them. And you add in tackles for loss, they're at 21.5 between the two of them. And South Carolina also thrives in taking away the football. Yeah. So you look at protecting Drew Pine and protecting the football on the offensive side, and those are kind of the keys on both sides of the ball for Missouri to even have a chance in this one.
Yeah, just kind of looking at the South Carolina numbers, you know, they're giving up 17 points a game, which seems right. I think in this, if you told me, okay, what's Mizzou going to score today? I'd say I'd top out around 17 and maybe go maybe 20 if things work out. So maybe 21, maybe three touchdowns, you know, but they're scoring 30. So I just feel like if they do what they do, this is going to be kind of a hard hurdle, I think, because I don't see if they score 30 like they normally do, I don't see Missouri scoring 31 the way things have gone the last couple weeks. So I think it's going to have to be Mizzou defense limits them, and then you hope that you get opportunistic enough to maybe, you know, score more than they normally allow.
Yeah, and it also bears mentioning South Carolina isn't by no means an easy place to play.
Right.
That has been a
sure.
tough environment yep. for a very long time. A very rabid fan base that shows out week in, week out, even when they're not good. I
right.
think this is South Carolina's first time being ranked, playing a game in 3 years.
Oh.
So they are at a state right now that they have not seen in quite some time,
yeah.
at least for South Carolina standards. So it's a very excited fan base, and it's a very loud stadium.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you look at the Texas A&M game, and if Missouri comes out and starts slow,
right.
it could be another mollywhopping, as I said, in that situation. So
right.
It's by no means an easy game, and I think that's the big teller with a 14-point spread.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'll just ask you, where do you feel about the spread, and where do you feel about the chance for a Mizzou victory today?
I think the spread's about right. Like okay. I say almost every time Vegas comes out with a spread, they're very good at what they do. So I'll predict it to be around a 14-point margin. I guess I'll give South Carolina a slight cover. We'll go 31-16.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.